It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture. Where America shops for furniture.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
A burst pipe. A dead water heater. The AC calling it quits. Who do you call? HomeServe is an easy way to handle unexpected home repairs with plans covering stuff basic homeowners insurance usually won't. Instead of scrambling for a contractor, you make one call to get the repair process started. Join the millions of customers who trust HomeServe right now. Go to homeserve.com/podcast for 50% less your first year. That's homeserve.com/podcast. Savings compared to renewal price, void in Florida.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Welcome into another episode of the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank O'Curry.
And don't look now, the Sabres scored again. That was what yesterday was.
They just scored again.
Yes, and that was what yesterday was just a goal fest in Montreal, and who cares? I love it.
I love it, too.
The Sabres put up 6 points, which six now, goals. Again, I have to ask, will they outscore the Bills? Because six is a lot of goals, and six is a lot of points for the Bills.
The answer legit could be yes, because they play Vancouver tomorrow.
Well, I was just talking about yesterday.
Yeah, but they also
only yesterday.
I mean,
6 points is an ask for these Bills.
I know, but they play the Jets.
They play the Jets, whose defense is actually pretty good. And unlike the Bears, they don't have any injuries.
If you combine the Vancouver game, it's definitely Sabres outscore them.
Just like how they outscored them despite only getting one goal with New York?
Yep.
So they outscored them on the weekend, yeah?
Yep.
Look. My frustration with the Bills, obviously, is something paramount. But at the same time, I do know, though, that I'm not taking much interest in that anymore. There's only one reason I'm going to be interested for games for the Bills for the rest of the year, and that's if Josh Allen plays, which he might on Sunday. I've got some fun stats for you there, by the way.
What's that?
So, Josh Allen and the Bills' touchdowns. I looked into this. And I got some pretty depressing numbers for you. You ready for them?
I guess.
Over the last 13 quarters that Josh Allen has not played, opposing defenses have outscored the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what's more depressing. That's that or the fact that it's snowing outside?
The answer is yes.
Okay.
Josh Allen, his three rushing touchdowns is more touchdowns than the Bills have accounted for in the 13 quarters that he has not played. The Bills have scored two. Nathan Peterman and Zane Jones, and Nathan Peterman rushing it in a garbage time touchdown. Opposing defenses have more pick sixes in this time frame that Josh Allen has been injured since more than they have actual touchdowns.
So, just real quick, going off the with the Jets Bills Sunday, their final injury report has just been announced.
Oh boy!
and Sam Darnold is listed as doubtful.
So he's out.
So likely he's out. He's along out. With Robbie Anderson.
You don't throw a doubtful tag on unless it means something.
Yeah.
So that's where we're sitting at there with the Jets, by the way.
McCown.
We might get the McCown-Peterman game that we all envisioned.
That we were all hoping for.
That we all prayed and wanted at the start of the season.
Yes.
Do you notice the sarcasm? Feel the sarcasm. Be the sarcasm. I hate this team. Josh Allen, in the meantime, probably going to be questionable. He was limited all week.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were to predict something there, that would be it. I think that Josh Allen's the only reason I'm going to watch. I'm going to want to watch. I mean, I have to watch, so I don't really have much of a choice. But I would take much more enjoyment and seeking it out.
Yeah.
If I happen to see that that we have ourselves our rookie quarterback to at least evaluate. I've got more of those stats, but I don't feel like being the downer here. It's just not very nice to do.
Bless your soul for not reading
Josh
out
Allen
these
still
stats.
Josh Allen still has 5 of the 8 touchdowns the Bills have scored all season.
All right. I take that back.
Josh Allen may have only 2 touchdown passes, but that's more than the rest of the Bills quarterbacks have. It gets worse.
I would imagine.
It gets worse.
I would imagine.
It gets more worse and depressing the more you look into it and the more you squeeze all of it out of there.
I would imagine.
Yes. And more importantly than anything is that Josh Allen has been personally responsible, at least partially responsible, for all of the Bills' double-digit scoring totals this season. He did not finish the Houston game, but they would have gotten to double digits with him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they would have won that game anyway. But no, we have to get the Derek Anderson and Nathan Peterman treatment, which may still continue for at least one more week.
Well, Matt Parrino actually just tweeted out, Josh Allen, Matt Barkley, and Nathan Peterman have been taking equal reps with the first team offense this week. They haven't been told
Matt
who will
Barkley?
Start. Yes, Matt Barkley. All depends on if Allen can go. Barkley was working with Brian Daboll and Allen a bit after practice. Anderson's already out.
I know that.
Now it's all depending on...
I'm shocked that they're already turning to Barkley because of how bad Peterman is.
So that means if Allen can't go, they legit might think about starting Barkley.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to beat on a dead horse, and it is indeed a very dead horse. But that is how bad Nathan Peterman is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just baffling to me how that could be. I don't understand it. How can a guy be that bad that you want to turn to willingly a freshly signed Derek Anderson and then possibly even a Matt Barkley? How could you be that bad? I just don't get it. Because everyone in the draft community gave him a passable grade. Everyone gave him that day 3 long-term backup quarterback, and that might be the biggest scouting miss of all time. Forget that Jameis Winston shouldn't have been the first overall pick. No, it looks like it should have been this. Forget about Paxton Lynch being a first-round pick. It should have been Nathan Peterman being draftable. I don't know. It just... Could we really get Matt Barkley?
We might. We legit might.
Honestly, if I'm the Bills, by the way,
I'm
holding out Josh Allen for one more game.
Yeah. I don't really just see the need.
He still has the elbow brace on all week. That does not tell me a man that is ready. At all. But I do find it weird that it's Matt Barkley taking equal reps there.
Yeah, it just makes you think.
It makes you think about how mismanaged this quarterback position was this year.
Yeah.
because everyone said, you draft Josh Allen, you better make sure that he has some time to develop.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills gave him none of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just, it's all terrible. It's all terrible.
Do you think there's a legit chance Peterman gets cut?
If Barkley ends up the starter, yes. Because at that point, what the hell are we doing?
Not even if Barkley starts. Let's say Allen still starts and plays the whole game Sunday.
Depends on if Peterman's inactive. If he's like, if that's the scenario, and they have Barkley backing up Allen,
mm-hmm.
that tells me Peterman's getting cut. There are signs that can tell me when it's going to happen, if it's going to happen. But the one thing it does not tell me is when it's going to happen.
Yeah, that's why I gave that timeline for Peterman being cut, because I mean he should have been cut yesterday, really.
Yeah,
or last week or 2 weeks ago. I don't care. And I still feel like I'm being generous.
Yeah,
with the timeline too, like the draft. That's in April.
Oh, we're talking about offseason? Absolutely, he's gone.
Well, that's what I mean. Like I'm giving a timeline of how long I'll give the management to cut Peterman when it should be right away. It should have been, earlier this season or whatever.
You could tell
it should have been after the Baltimore game.
You could tell it's close, though, because of the fact that
they're giving Barkley first-team reps.
They're giving Barkley first-team reps.
And he's been here for a week.
Yes.
Yes.
Which, by the way, that's the second time that's happened where someone's been here for a week and is getting first-team reps.
But we didn't see it with Anderson.
We did.
Peterman being potentially cut because of Allen being hurt. Now with Allen
I'm talking about quarterbacks that have just been signed.
Yeah, I know.
And
I know.
Being given first-team reps so that we could avoid Nathan Peterman. But we can't avoid Nathan Peterman. You can never avoid Nathan Peterman. Nathan Peterman is unkillable.
Unless you cut him.
He will emerge somewhere.
Okay, but
he will rain disaster upon your team.
Yeah, but as long as it's not for the Bills, he will rain disaster upon the team that signs him.
I'm willing and waiting to see what happens there.
I can't wait for 5 years down the line, Peterman's starting for another team. And
New England.
Stop.
Let it happen.
Stop.
Destroy them, Nathan. I believe in you. Or he turns it around, becomes the next Tom Brady like all the other callers are saying, and the next thing you know, he makes us hate him even more.
Nathan Peterman revenge game.
And that would be the ultimate revenge game, because that would be the first time that he goes ahead and doesn't throw it to the opposition. He just doesn't like throwing to Bills.
Yeah, that's all what it was this whole time.
He just doesn't like throwing it to the team with the Buffalo on their helmet.
Yeah, but I always just felt the draft is being generous on the management to cut Peterman. If they don't do it by then, I don't feel confident in this group that's here. I don't. And
I mean,
if they don't cut him, because if they don't cut him by then, are they ever gonna?
Yes, eventually. What I do know is this. I shouldn't have to care.
That's true. Yeah. And if it doesn't happen by the draft, I'm not gonna.
I don't know if that says anything about Brandon Bean necessarily.
I'm not,
because Sean McDermott is the one in charge of the final roster.
Yeah. It's more McDermott than it is Bean for me with the Peterman thing. I'm pretty sure Brandon Bean wanted to cut Nathan Peterman last year.
I don't know. We don't know that.
We don't know.
Because the guy was given a chance to win a starting job.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he wanted to cut him at all. I think, though, it comes down to this, though, really. If Josh Allen's good, who the hell cares?
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see when he comes in next.
But I feel like...
Because if you didn't hear it from Josh Allen earlier this week, he said something along the lines of the game was starting to slow down for him in Houston. Which I agree with.
Yes, yes.
I would agree with that, because he looked like a disaster against Green Bay and Tennessee. And, yeah, it was the third quarter. He got injured, and he had as many passing yards as he did in all of that Titans game. He still only had 80-some-odd yards, but I'm thinking to myself, he's looking better in this game. I can tell that there's some sort of progress.
Mm-hmm.
Then he makes the best throw that he's made, probably of the season, and he gets hurt.
Yep.
Because Bills.
Yep.
Because peak Bills. That's peak Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Your rookie quarterback gives you a hope, a sliver of hope that, hey, I've got it figured out. I've got this Kelvin Benjamin guy. I can throw it to him with his catch radius, and he's going to make the catch. And he made the catch. Awesome. Oh, ow.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
And it wasn't malicious. It wasn't dirty. It wasn't even unnecessary. It was just a guy got pushed into him, and his helmet hit the elbow of Josh Allen. The throwing elbow of the man who could throw it over the mountains. I'm interested to see what happens. Because I would want him to sit this week. Yes, that means I have to put up with another week of pain. But at this point, it don't matter. It don't matter. One more week of suffering makes me believe that the rest of the season is watchable.
And then it's a week of relaxation.
Yeah, a week of suffering, a week of peace, and then a week of what can Allen do against Jacksonville? That's a stiff test.
Yeah.
Mother of God, if Peterman had to play that game. He's coming back right in time.
Yeah.
I want my best shot against Jacksonville because to hell with the Jaguars. You fool's gold. You are fool's gold.
the revenge game.
Fool's gold Jacksonville is.
Yeah.
It could be revenge for Josh Allen too because Jalen Ramsey called him trash. Now I want him to throw one over Jalen Ramsey. And that would be baller. Throw it up to Kelvin against Jalen Ramsey. And get it done. Dance on them. That's my wish.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to have that and have full confidence in that wish, you got to sit him one more week. You got to sit him one more week. That means I have to deal with Nathan Peterman and or Matt Barkley, apparently, to ensure that Josh Allen is okay. And I think that's what the case has to be, is that Josh Allen has to be okay for me. Then I could breathe easy. Then I can relax. Because if Josh Allen is not healthy, he's not 100%, what the hell are we doing? That's your franchise quarterback, your long-term answer.
Mm-hmm.
I may not have agreed with that answer when it was first taken, but right now that's what your answer is, Buffalo. Keep him healthy. Do not rush him onto the field for the love of God.
Yeah.
And you know for sure that we're not going to find out until 11:30.
Mm-hmm.
The inactives come out.
Yep.
We may not even know then. McDermott might go ahead and just say, "And we're going to keep three quarterbacks up on the roster right now."
Oh, if he does that.
And then we're not going to know until 1:01. Which would be probably the most interesting and maddening scenario for everybody. Who's starting?
That would be the most interesting part about this Bills season.
It would be the most interesting part about this game.
It would.
You don't even get to compare the rookies. If Allen does play, Darnold's not.
Yeah.
And both will be facing good defenses, so you got a mirror on competition there.
Mm-hmm.
A mirror on comparison.
Is this game going to be like...
Yes.
10-3?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Which is why when the Sabres score 6, I have to ask a legitimate question. It might be 17-10. We might get some defensive touchdowns in here. Maybe. Especially if Peterman's playing.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
McCown's not great. McCown's not even good. He was out of his mind last year for some reason.
Yeah.
Which then made the Jets have to trade up. Because if they didn't have McCown playing out of his mind, well, they would have easily been a top three team.
They never had to trade up.
And then they never would have had to trade up. They would have never pissed off the Bills. And, well, the draft order on quarterbacks would have remained literally the same.
Maybe.
Because the Bills would have made their moves up anyway. And they wouldn't have had to contend with the Jets to get into the top five. And they would settle for trading in for 7 and getting Josh Allen anyway.
Well, if the Jets were gonna be as bad last year, there's a chance that they would have been at 3 anyway.
That's what I'm saying.
So, because they had Cleveland. Because I was
Cleveland. Cleveland was still going to be terrible and winless, and
it would all depend on if they were in with the Giants. And
Yeah, so. It wouldn't have mattered because Cleveland would have went winless, and the Jets would have been terrible. And there it is, done.
Yeah. The Jets would still have their second round picks.
Exactly. So there you go.
Yeah.
The only thing that would have been different.
Yep. The Jets butt fumbled their tank last year.
But at the same time, they still got the quarterback that they apparently desired.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Look, I think that there is a legitimate case, though, for if the Bills are going to win this game, it's going to be one reason and one reason alone.
Defense.
No. Josh Allen will have played.
Sure. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Because their wins this year are when Josh Allen has played.
I know. All two of them.
Their point production has been when Josh Allen has played.
Yeah, I know. Yep. This season needs to end.
That 27-6 game in Minnesota, when Josh Allen went out, they scored 27 points.
I know.
There's your last bad one.
That's their season high.
That's their season high, and it took them 3 weeks to do it. To match it. Without the rookie. The raw rookie.
Yeah.
That is how bad your quarterback situation has been. That is how pathetic it has been. I can't believe how bad it really could be. So, no, this season really is just about getting Josh Allen back healthy and so that we could watch and evaluate him again.
You know what their highest point total is since the 27-6 game?
Their highest since?
Yeah.
13. And 13.
Yeah. Twice.
Yeah. That's it.
Ugh.
But let's talk about something happier. So when I say something about happier things in life, Frank, I mean about the Buffalo Sabres. And now, joining us here on the Leftovers podcast, the noted jerk himself, writer for The Athletic, and an all-around great guy. You should just talk to him and get all of the snark all the time from Joe Yurden. Joe, calling us from Montreal, by the way, taking the time after the Sabres' 6-5 win last night. Joe, it's Derek and Frank. How you doing, man?
Doing great. I'm trying to find a quiet spot in Trudeau Airport in Montreal. It's proving difficult, so pardon the background noise. Consider it ambient sound.
It's a pleasant sound because now I can hopefully try to hear the salt from Canadiens fans that we robbed them of another point.
that was a heck of a game last night, wasn't it? I mean, that's kind of what you're looking for as far as entertainment goes. Maybe not for what you want out of your team every game, but I'd say as far as enjoyment, watching a game at a bar or at home, that's pretty good.
Honestly, I don't care that much. It was an ugly game, absolutely, on both sides, with defense and goaltending being shoddy. I mean, Linus Ullmark started, and he got pulled in favor of Carter Hutton in the third period. But overall, it was still a fun game to watch, and it's one that you can actually stress over and really, you know, be in that drama right until the end, where Ristolainen blasts a slap shot by Carey Price to win it.
It's funny what happy stress can do for a game, right? I mean, it's happy because they pull out a win, but it's happy because it's one of those games that locks you in where you're like, okay, well, what next? I mean, how many times, if you just write down what happens in that game and present it to somebody, say, listen, Sabres are going to blow four different one-goal leads. They're going to be behind, and then they're going to come back and win. What would you say? And people would say, like, well, what the heck happened to the defense? Did the goalie die? Like, what happened? But it instantly sucks you in because you want to know how that plays out. And the way it played out last night was incredibly dramatic.
Not just incredibly dramatic, but there was a lot of I call it enjoyable stress, or like it's almost like it's something where like it doesn't have to be happy. It's just the ride was almost as fun as the end result was as well. Because strangely enough, in that overtime, for example, Joe, you see Rasmus Ristolainen get pickpocketed of the puck again in overtime, and it's a 3-on-1 rush, and you're going, here we go again. Risto got pickpocketed in Columbus. He got pickpocketed in the other overtime game. And it's just like, here we go again with this. Come on. And next thing you know, they miss the shot, and it's Ristolainen himself that goes ahead and answers the bell out of gas, but rips a laser.
Yeah. You know, you could see it unfold, because the first thought when I see him get caught up there and the play goes the other direction, I'm just like, oh boy, I've already watched this happen twice. It happened in Columbus, it happened against Calgary, and now you're saying, okay, well, that's it's another one that somebody's going to find a way to hang it on somebody else's head. But you know, kudos to Risto, and you know, probably it's amazing it. That whole overtime is just an example of what happens if you don't hit the net. And if you don't hit the net, you're just starting to break the other direction. And that's exactly what happened with the Habs. You know, the Habs missed the net on that shot, gets ripped a little bit high, goes around the glass and right back out. And, you know, Risto's trying to get to the bench to get a change. And he's like, well, I can't give this up. Like, there's no way. You know, the guy defending me is going to try to take away some kind of pass. He's not going to stand in front of me for a slap shot, because otherwise Carey Price is going to kill me. And he just rips in just an unstoppable shot. I mean, we know he's got a good shot, and it's just a matter of whether the stick holds up or the shot gets past somebody in front. But when he gets it through, man, oh, man, he's got a great shot. And, you know, good for him. Good for him for getting that one. And he's become kind of a sneaky overtime go-to guy, which sounds weird to say given how the first two overtime games this year went. But, I mean, he scored a couple of them already. And, I mean, he's done it before with Finland in the World Juniors, so I mean, he's got a little bit of a track record. It's nice to see him pull it off.
As a matter of fact, he's now tied for fifth in the organization for overtime goals. He's got four as a player, and only four players rank above him now. One actually still currently playing for the Sabres, and Jason Pominville.
Yeah.
So,
I'd say Palmer's got a little bit of an edge on the time factor on him there.
Yes, but Joe, about Ristolainen in itself now, because you know that overtime goal, it does allow us to talk a little bit more about him in a sense, and one of those things is possibly the overusage yet again of Ristolainen and how it's been a very up and down season for him. He's had games like this where he can be the hero, but then you didn't see in the same game he has that. He takes a bad penalty when you're already on the penalty kill to cause a 5-on-3, and you go ahead and you see a lot of up and down in Ristolainen's game. What do you think becomes the timeline on starting to limit some of his minutes?
Well, I think the timeline there comes when there's somebody who plays on the right side who they end up trusting more and who they want to go to more. I don't think Zach Bogosian or Casey Nelson are those guys right now. So I think, you know, I think from that perspective, Rasmus is the guy. But I mean, he's earned it from the coaches, and I mean, we all see the different things that happen. And I mean, I would like to think that if you cut down on some of his minutes, find a way to reduce some of those minutes, maybe not 25, maybe more like 21, 22. Things would get a little bit better, and perhaps some of those mistakes would go away. But it's pretty clear the guy doesn't wear down. I mean, that was a long overtime shift he was out there for. And, yeah, he looked a little gassed after it. But he's a guy that just, over the course of a game, he just doesn't get winded. I mean, we can point to the Instagram summer of Risto, where, you know, he's throwing truck tires and he's, you know, he's playing javelin with redwood trees and things, you know, whatever kind of stuff he's doing to work out in the summer. But I mean, he's a very fit guy, and he's just not going to wear out, which, I mean, it helps. Not to say the other guys are out of shape, but for the level he can play at, and the highs are so high with him that you tend to look away from the lows when they happen, because what he gives you when he's good is great. But you want that consistency to be there, and that's the trick with him, is that you want to see, you know, the bad stuff go away. You want to see that get cleaned up. But, you know, maybe at some point down the road that comes with fewer minutes having to play, and, you know, perhaps that's something that will happen. But I just don't see it coming anytime soon, because I don't see anybody supplanting him on the right side anyways as somebody who's going to get those minutes.
Yeah, it's really hard to find someone, especially someone in the organization too, who could come up and even take out some of those minutes as well on the right side. A lot of people seem the simplest answer would be put Dahlin with him, and then Dahlin's that first guy out there, instead of Ristol Lainen, and you kind of alleviate some of Ristol's minutes and give it to Dahlin while they're paired together as a top D unit.
Yeah, curious. I mean, this is more like conspiracy theory fodder stuff, but I mean, we've been seeing Dahlin play a little bit more on the right side, and I think that's probably got more to do with giving Beaulieu more of a shot, knowing that you've got Scandella and you've got
McCabe.
McCabe. Thank you. Jeez. But it's already been a long day. But you've got these guys that you trust to do in these other spots on the left side, and they're probably left side only guys. You know, I don't imagine you want to have Scandella or McCabe playing on the right side, although McCabe's done it before. But I think Dahlin's so good that he can play either side, and it doesn't matter. And if you're able to put him on the right side, maybe that's a way to alleviate some of that stuff. But you're not going to throw the kind of minutes and responsibilities that you put on Ristolainen at 23, 24 years old that you're going to put on Dahlin at 18. That stuff don't fly. I mean, he's still learning things, around the league, and we see that every game. He's obviously very good. He's incredibly good. I was sitting next to Michael Farber from Sports Illustrated at the game last night. Name dropper. Hi, sorry.
What a jerk.
Him, I know, but listening to him watch Dahlin, and you hear a couple of oohs and ahs from him, and you're just like, all right, this kid's got it. Like, if Michael Farber's impressed with him, that's a really good sign. So, I think this is something where down the road, Dahlin's going to be that guy. It's just that he's not going to be it right now in his first season, 16 games into the year.
Yeah, and I mean, it's awesome to see Rasmus Dahlin. Like, it looks like any decision that the kid makes, and he's still only 18, any decision he makes with the puck, you're pretty much nodding, and you're just like, all right, that's always the right move. He's always making the right move with the puck. You see that rare rookie instance where he'll make that mistake because nobody's perfect, not even an 18-year-old Swedish defenseman that might be the best defenseman since Denny Savard, according to some scouts. But you still see every decision that he makes is the right decision, and yet, strangely enough, if you were to look at the production point-wise from him, you're just like, hey, why aren't the points coming from him if he's so great? But I'm not snarky like that because I get to watch him every game, and I get to see that he is just making every great decision, every crisp pass. I seriously think, Joe, that Dahlin is maybe one of three players that can hit a pass tape to tape any chance and any opportunity.
On the Sabres roster? Or just
yes, on the Sabres roster.
Because no, I 100% agree about that on the team. I mean, I can't take credit for the joke, but we've had a long running joke since Phil Housley took over that the best passer on the team is still Phil Housley, because he's if you watch him at a practice and he's firing pucks at guys, it's never not on the tape, and it's never not perfect. Like, it's every time. It's like, well, that's why he's a Hall of Famer. But Dahlin can do that stuff, and he's able to kind of stick handle out of a phone booth. These old cliche things that you talk about, guys like Patrick Kane can do. Well, Dahlin can do that too as a defenseman, and that's really impressive. So, people want the points. I get it. People want to be blown away. They see Elias Pettersson in Vancouver going bananas, and they're like, why isn't Dahlin doing that? It's like, well, we could break down the reasons for that, but the thing is, I look at Dahlin and I see a guy who's going to have probably a pretty big second half once he's got it down and once he starts to figure out who these opponents are and how these guys handle things. I think he's just going to you're going to see a huge second half from him, and then the Calder talk's going to get really interesting.
That is exactly what I would want to hear there.
Yeah.
And Joe, not to state the obvious, but can we get Jeff Skinner re-signed? Good Lord, because that duo and Jason Pominville tagging along is one of the best lines in hockey, and it's not even up for debate anymore.
It's really impressive. That was a move I really liked when it happened at the time, because I've always been a big Skinner fan, and my big question was how he's going to work on the team. Were he and Eichel going to be the right mix? Was it going to be more something where he and Casey play, or was it going to be, maybe somebody else down the line? Seeing him work with Jack and knowing that they're both creative minds and they can both pass and they can both score, and the way they've sound chemistry. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And then you get a guy like Pominville, who's, you know, in his veteran years now. He's still a pretty quick skater. He's a straight line guy. He goes to the front of the net, so he's parked in one place. And these guys just feed off each other. It's unbelievable how quick this has blossomed. It's to see it happen this fast, and to see this line in particular work. Because I think, you know, if you drew it up in preseason, everybody said, "Oh, Skinner, Eichel, Reinhardt, do it. Let's make it happen." And you know, Pominville's just kind of grabbed it and run with it. Skinner and Pominville are both on contract years, which is probably a helpful thing in itself. But to see the way these three play off each other, it's something else. I haven't seen something like this in with a Buffalo team in a very long time.
Man, it's refreshing to
hear. It's great, you know, and especially with Pominville, considering, you know, Derek and I were, you know, you're younger when watching Pominville come up in the organization, watching him play, you know, back in 2005.
I was back in high school.
Back 2005, you know, the 2007, the conference final years, and then even after that, up until he got traded. And you just see that he hasn't changed as a player in terms of his style. He still keeps things very simple in his game. And that I think that simplicity is what able to have him, you know, be able to work with guys like Eichel and Skinner and be able to have this longevity in the NHL that he has. You know, he just passed 1,000 games, which is amazing for him. And he looks like he hasn't missed a beat.
No, he really doesn't look like he's missed at all. And it's weird that it's kind of funny to hear people talk about him in terms where it's just like, I thought he was kind of washed up. Well, you know, last year he had 16 goals, and that was his best output in like 3-4 years. And, you know, granted it came on a pretty bad team, and, you know, there was plenty of opportunity for him to be that guy to score those goals. But the fact that, you know, he's 34, 35, and he's able to chip in with 16, and, you know, be one of the top scorers on the team, that was kind of out of the blue. And, you know, the game's always been there for him. I think those opportunities always been there. And it was pretty clear after he got traded by Minnesota back here that he felt he had some stuff to prove, that, you know, that he wasn't totally used properly with the Wild at the end of his run there. So he had a lot that he wanted to accomplish and a lot he wanted to get done. He's doing it now. I mean, he's showing that sometimes the old guys, they still got some juice left.
Now, Sam Reinhardt. I mean, a lot of people watching him, especially at even strength, you're going ahead and you're seeing a guy that has been, quite frankly, disappointing in most cases. And yet, if you were just to be a box score watcher, you would see, oh, he's fourth on the team in points with 10. He must be doing fine. But you look at a deeper look at it. What's been with Reinhardt's struggles 5-on-5, Joe?
You know what? I think that's the big mystery right now. John Vogel watched him shift by shift at a recent game, and you know, we're trying to get down to the nitty gritty of like what's going on with him, and it seems like he hasn't clicked with any of these guys in the middle six of the lineup, which I mean, let's be honest, that there's a lot of opportunity to be had in that middle six because nothing's really worked out very much. So, but I mean, if he could find a way to blossom with Rodriguez, or if he could find a way to catch on with Middlestat or somebody, just do something like to get it going, to find that other gear, to give them another line that really rolls, that would be huge. But right now, we're just not seeing it at a Reinhardt. I can't figure out what it is. He's such a mysterious player in that when he's really on, you can kind of tell what he's doing right, but when he's off, you're just kind of like, well, he's doing the same thing. So what's going on? Like, what's happening here? To me, I want to see him get in front of the net more. He's been doing a lot of dishing, a lot of trying to set other guys up, which, I mean, hey, there's a benefit to that. That's good. But, I mean, he's been so good in front and around the net, you know, when he was playing with Jack, when he was playing with Ryan O'Reilly in the past, that I want to see him in those spots a little bit more. And right now, that's not quite happening. And I think if there's a way to solve what he's been doing, if he can do that heavy labor and hang out around the net more, I think that would go a long way.
All right, Joe Yerden, The Athletic, on with us here on the Leftovers podcast. Joe, the case of Tage Thompson has always been mysterious here to me. I have always been of the thought of, if you're not getting the ice time, if you're getting sat in the press box more than not, why is he here? What has been the case with the development of Tage Thompson, and what's it like? is it something so unprecedented that it's right to question it, or is it something that maybe they're doing something different to try to spark something with him?
I think it's a case where when you compare him to some of the other prospects that people are talking about that should, that could belong or do belong or should be up in Buffalo, when you compare him to those guys, he's got more NHL time than all of them. And I think when that's the case, you don't want to take ice time away from guys in Rochester in order to get him down there to get him fixed. And I think that could be part of it. And I think another part of it is that just because he knows the NHL already, it's like, all right, well, you know what you're looking at. You know what you're supposed to do when you get out there. Let's make it happen. Let's make it work. I mean, he's shown glimpses that, he can have some chemistry going. It seems like him and Kyle Opposo had a little bit of a thing working when that could work out well. But every time that those two have been together, it's been with Casey Mittelstadt, and they just get buried under shots. So, when the risk and the reward are that far out of touch, you can't just keep running with that. And because that hurts everybody else's confidence too, because you don't want to have three guys being down in the dumps because they keep getting buried in their own end just for the occasional goal every four or five games. You can't do that. I think in Tejas' case, yeah, it's hard. It's hard to sit out, games at a time and have to watch from the press box. But I think in the long run, it's almost a better thing for him to be able to do that from here instead of just kind of being in Rochester and maybe getting away from the development plan that they've got for guys like Nylander and Olofsson and Aston, like all these guys they've got down there that they want to keep down there for the majority of the season, most likely. For Tage, he's kind of taking it on the chin, I suppose, but being around these guys and learning from everybody in that room, it goes a long way. It really does. And I know people don't want to hear that if he's not playing, but it's the truth.
Well, I needed to hear that because I was one of those guys saying, what's he still doing here? Why are you wasting his time? So, that's exactly the kind of thing that I would like to hear is that, he is at least still trying to learn on a day-to-day basis, and he's still up in the NHL, which I mean, I'd imagine, he's not playing every night, but that is something to still be able to hang your hat on, that you are still worth something, that they're keeping you around. So for a young player that might have some sort of a confidence boost to it, my last question on Tage now, though, is do you think about squeezing him into the lineup against Vancouver here?
You know what? I'm not sure. I'm not sure, I don't know who the suggestion would be to take out at that point, because Phil's been pretty reticent to want to change the lineup, after a win. And granted, this is a win that came with some caveats where the team didn't play overly well. They had some bad goals against. They had some, tons of odd man rushes. But I think if you're looking at guys at forward that didn't play particularly great, it's if you're able to pick out a single guy and say, all right, let's swap him for Tage, I don't know that you can pick that guy out, because I thought the forwards for the majority of that game did okay. I mean, they certainly turned it on the third and everybody looked good. But, Sabaka, he popped a couple in early. That's great. Reinhardt's able to get a couple of us. So that's good. Mittelstadt, that line with Sherry and Opposo looked pretty good. Eichel's line dominated the third period and the second half of the game. These are things, the fourth line's perfect. They keep doing their job. So, it's really tough to try to pick a guy out and find a guy to pull out, because I don't know what the answer is there. That's the hard decision a coach has got to make, to try to figure it out. But he's got a couple of forwards he's got to try to figure out. It's Thompson, it's Remy Elie, and then trying to find another spot for him. It's weird to have a top 12 set of guys that you're pretty comfortable with.
And it is, yeah. Casey Mittelstadt, Joe, is an interesting player in this season in terms of production, because you see Casey working around and constantly generating chances, and it's just almost like he's snake bitten at some point with 6 points. Casey Mittelstadt, are you sensing that he's really been able to gel throughout everything, and it's just a lack of being able to actually get the puck in the net?
Yeah, no, I absolutely feel that way. I think his game's been very good. Very good for a little while here. And the creativity and the confidence is up. I mean, think about the play during the game against Montreal where he just fires that, you know, does like a little spinorama backhand sauce pass cross. And he knew Rodriguez was coming on the other side. He just, that pass just kind of flattened out a little bit and it got out a little bit ahead of him. But if that play gets finished and they take the lead, on that kind of a goal, I mean, goodness. I mean, we go from talking about the faceoff, you know, Eichel's faceoff play to going to that goal to end it. And it's bananas. You know, it's just, you know, it's creativity everywhere. But like those chances are coming and they're coming in more frequency. And to me, Casey's one of the last guys I'm worried about on this team because I think he's playing very good. They're still searching for those combos that work, but I don't know. Sherry and Oppoza with him seems to be doing pretty good, and I think Kyle Oppoza has been sneaky good all year too. But Casey, I'm not worried about him. I think the points will come with him.
Yeah, I agree with Manil said. Going back to Tage Thompson, so I was actually checking out the lines at practice today. Tage Thompson might actually play tomorrow. It sounded like he might be on the fourth line with it could be Berglund and Larson or someone in Gergensen, because it seems like Gergensen was rotating out with Larson and Berglund in practice, and Tage Thompson was like a staple on that fourth line.
Hmm. All right.
Thompson was doing that before they headed to Montreal too. Like that was the swap out there. I know Berglund took a shot off his leg late in that game that kind of hurt him a little bit, so I wonder if, you know, if there could be something to be had there. But the fact that they've been working him in on the lines and not having him be a fourth D pair with Remy Elie is probably a good thing. He might get a look here soon, but it's, I don't know. That line of Berglund, Larson, and Gergensen has been a huge surprise. I mean, they're not scoring a ton, but the way that they're able to suppress shots and create some opportunities is pretty impressive.
It has been impressive, especially with the faces of Larson and Gergensen's, where fans were ready to catapult both of those guys out of here. And now 1 year later, you're looking at a fourth line that has been, according to statistics, dominating seventh best with possession.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I think a lot of that credit has to go to, the three of them working out together is impressive enough. But I think when you look at what Gergensen has done, where, you know, I think everybody was ready to kind of, you know, pass the buck on him after last year. They said, you know, what is this guy? We don't even know what he is. It's time to move on. But I think now they figured out the role for him. He's got to be a heavy guy. He's got to be a physical guy, and he's got to be a defensive guy. And I think he's figured that out pretty well. He's the guy who really, he's the engine on that line, because he doesn't quit on any play. He never gives up on anything, and he's always going. The motor's always going, and he looks quicker this year. There's a lot about his game that I like quite a bit, as long as you're able to accept that he's just not going to score a ton of goals. But he's been outstanding. And, you know, the fact that he's been a part of a couple of lines this year, that everybody's like, hey, what's going on here? If you remember earlier this season, it was him with Rodriguez and Pominville, and that line was going really well too. So, you know, once could be a fluke, twice could be the sign of a trend.
All right, Joe, they play against Vancouver this weekend, and according to my notes, they could get back over 500 since, oh, hey, October. Interesting. So, no, Joe, this team has been probably easily the fresh breath of air that we've needed with how putrid the Bills have been, and the Sabres already have 6 goals here. So I'm going to ask you the easiest question in the world. Combining this game and tomorrow's game against Vancouver, do they outscore the Bills?
You know what? I want to say that they will, but I don't trust the New York Jets for anything. So I'm gonna leave that one. I'm gonna leave that one off my personal betting board. Last week, you could probably, after they put up 9 in Ottawa, you could guess that they were probably gonna outscore the Bills.
They tied them in one day.
Yeah. It's bad for the Bills, man. It's real bad. I'm not gonna touch that one this time, because I got a funny feeling the Jets are gonna be just bad enough to hand the Bills some points.
Yeah, you know what? That's actually a pretty good point there, especially if Darnold, the way he was throwing picks lately. Joe, thanks for taking the time with us, and safe flight back from Montreal.
Hey, thanks, guys. Good to talk to you.
And Joe, real quick, though, just let the kids know where you're at on Twitter and where to find your work, of course.
Yeah, you can find me at The Athletic Buffalo, and you can find me on Twitter at Joe Yerdon. That's Yerdon. The easiest name to spell, but everybody misspells.
Well, hey, here you heard it from the noted jerk himself. Joe, thanks for taking the time, man.
Hey, you got it, guys.
That was Joe Yerdon.
Fun.
He's a great listen. Always is. And, always like, is. Anytime I'm at practice, you know, I'll always go to Paul, and then I'll always go to Joe. You know, those are the first two guys I'll talk to, you know. Shoot the stuff, you know, mm-hmm. and you know, he is a noted jerk, but he's also a good guy, you know.
Yeah,
you know, I won't tell him that. I'll let him hear it, but but yeah, no, absolutely, very very knowledgeable, very fun with everything as well. So, no, the Sabres have been a fantastic looking group this year, and they can crack over 500 again since earlier this year.
Yay!
After they hadn't done it since what, 2012.
Yes, 2013.
Something like that. Still way too long.
Yeah.
And we're even talking like, could they have started 1-0? They never did in that span. So that just tells you how strange and how bad they've been lately.
Yeah.
So Brian Colesfield had mentioned something in Sabres postgame last night that I think they were on pace for something around 250-some-odd goals.
Yeah, okay.
Frank?
Yes?
Do you know how bad it was?
Another fun stat.
Do you know how bad it was for the Sabres?
How bad was it?
All right. So last year.
Yeah.
199.
Ugh.
Then under Dan Bylsma, the goal totals were the same for each of the two seasons.
Were they really?
201.
Wow.
And then 161. That was tank year two.
Yep.
Tank year one.
Wasn't that like 150 something?
157.
Ugh.
For reference, the year before that was a lockout year. Mm-hmm. They had 125.
That was 48
and that
games.
And that was 48 games. So that's how bad it's been. The last time that they've been
back,
on that.
How far back can you go?
I'm going back right now. I'm at 2010, 2011.
What was it?
The last time they cracked 240 was 2010, 2011 season.
Wow.
Where, of course, your leading scorer was Thomas Vanek.
Yeah.
And then Drew Stafford and Jason Pominville were tied for second.
Yeah, that was the year Stafford had like four hat tricks.
Yep.
And that was the last year they made the playoffs.
Yeah.
Hmm.
The last time that they cracked 240 goals was the first season they got rid of the slug. There's your other reference there. Also, you know, it just, it really is. It has been frustrating to see the least that they've been this bad for this long. And now you're looking at a pace of around 250 or so, which is average on the year. They're not outscoring anyone by a bunch. If you look at the scoring totals from around the league, you're still being outscored by plenty of teams here.
Oh, yeah. But that's, I mean, that also comes with scoring being up more in the league. But as the season goes along, it's going to start to even out a bit. If the Sabres are on pace for 250,
they're right smack dab. They're smack dab in the middle.
Yeah,
on goals in the East.
If you go based off of last year's numbers throughout the league, 250 would be 14th best.
Could I tell you something that you would make me think I'm a liar?
What?
Ottawa has 55 goals.
They do. No, I believe it. Because have you seen the way Thomas Chabot's been playing?
Yes, but they have 55 goals.
Yeah, but
step it up, Sabres. You're being outscored by the Sens, and you outscored them 9-2. Wow. That is actually crazy. But then you look at Ottawa's goals against, and it is, by God, the worst in the NHL.
Yeah. That's all it is. What's the thing like when you're? What's the thing like when you
at 67 when you lose Eric Karlsson, you suddenly don't have a defense.
Yeah, funny how that works.
Oh my God!
Funny how that works. It's just funny with Ottawa too, because they got a lot of young pieces on the team, and that's the way you go when you're rebuilding. You just go young and fast, and that's kind of where Ottawa is. That's where Montreal is right now.
And Craig Anderson's no longer stopping everything on the planet Earth.
Oh yeah,
that is also the problem.
But. You go young and fast, and then Thomas Chabot's having a really good year, an amazing year, and yeah, they're scoring some goals. By the way, if the Sabres were to score 250 in the 16-17 season, do you know where that would be in the league? That would be sixth best.
Really?
Because the league
just 2 years ago.
Just 2 years ago. Shows you how far scoring has gone up.
Yes.
Last year, they'd be 14th.
Interesting. Wow.
Because Pittsburgh led the league in goals at 282. Toronto was fifth at 251. Columbus was sixth at 249.
Man, all the scoring. I love it. And I love that the Sabres are a part of it.
Yeah.
Because, funny enough, at the start of the season, they were averaging less than a goal a game at one point. Mm-hmm. Right at the start.
Yeah.
I think it was five games in. They were the second worst team when it came to goals per game. And then they start the Western Coast trip against the team that was the worst in Arizona because they'd been shut out three of their first four games. And what the Sabres do, they shut them out. Mm-hmm. But then after that, they've been putting up the points. They've been putting up goals.
Skinner and you had four
straight games of four-plus goals. You had the 9-2 game. You have a 6-5 back-and-forth Rama between them and the Canadiens. This is exactly the shot in the arm that fans needed here.
Yeah.
If you're just strictly a football or a Bills fan, listen to me right now, and I'm gonna keep it real with you, Chief. Watch some hockey. You're welcome. It's been ridiculous.
Yeah.
How bad they are and how much they can sour a fan base, the Bills. But you watch the Sabres this year, it's the opposite. They can be frustrating like in that Montreal game, but yet they find their way to win it. They find their way to win going down 2-0 against Anaheim. They find their way to go back and storm back against Columbus and get to overtime.
Mm-hmm.
This team don't quit. Even in losses, they don't quit.
No, that's 100% true.
And what a refreshing pace or change of pace that is from last year.
Mm-hmm. And it's only getting better for them.
It's only getting better for them in that case.
Yeah.
So, again, we're looking at something pretty interesting here this year. Even if you were to just go straight up based on the list in front of me, Jack Eichel and Jeff Skinner are in the top 20 on my screen on points. And that's with a bunch of ties. If I were to go ahead and go straight up on it, Jack Eichel's sixth. Jeff Skinner is tied for seventh. Jack Eichel tied for sixth. Jeff Skinner tied for seventh.
Jeff Skinner is also tied for fifth in goals total, just goals. He's one goal off the league lead right now.
Let's go. So that means that he's just tied for second.
Well, you got four players.
No, I know, but like,
yeah, technically speaking, yes.
If he's one goal off the lead, that means he's tied for second. That's how I rule it in my personal record book.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair too, because you got Pasternak, Timo Meier on San Jose.
Really?
Yeah.
Someone's got to get the passes from Burns and Karlsson, huh?
Guess so. Ovechkin and Patrick Kane all have 12 goals right now, and then you have Skinner, along with Nathan MacKinnon and Gabriel Landeskog of the Avalanche, both who have 11. All three who have 11.
By the way, you think it's shocking that Skinner has 11 goals in 16 games? Death, taxes, and Alex Ovechkin almost had a goal per game.
I know.
Mother of God, 12 and 14.
Yeah.
Get out of here with that.
Elias Pettersson has 10 and 11.
The strangest thing, like, only half of the goals from Ovechkin are coming on the power play.
That sounds about right.
And only two of Skinner's 11 have come on the power play.
That's impressive.
That means you're dominating 5-on-5 play.
Yeah.
Which is something that has not happened these last 3 years with the Sabres.
Yeah, the Ovechkin one really does surprise me because he's Ovechkin.
I know, death, taxes, and Ovechkin from the circle.
Yeah.
The left circle.
Yeah. Ovechkin's one timer. That's all.
Yeah, death, taxes, and Ovi from the circle.
Yeah,
that's later.
All. Yeah,
yeah. No, it's been fantastic this season, and I can't wait to get more of it. Sabres play against Vancouver. Vancouver, by the way. Good looking on good, you, kid.
Looking good so far.
Elias Pettersson has been the real deal. 17 points in 11 games. He's just amazing right now.
He's a beast.
Can anyone stop him? No, not really. Frank, we're going to play a game called Guess the Shooting Percentage.
Okay.
Elias Pettersson.
Is it over 50%?
No.
I'm shocked.
But amongst players with more than 10 shots in the league,
yeah,
he is third. First is Alex Chazon in Edmonton with 14 shots, a 42% shot percentage with six goals. Second is Valtteri Filppula, who's apparently in the Islanders now.
He is with the Islanders, yes.
He's with the Islanders, but in 15 games he has five goals, only on 13 shots, though, a 38.5 clip. Third is Elias Pettersson.
He's at, like, what, 35?
34.5.
Wow.
29 shots, 10 goals. Yeah. 11 games. That's the big thing. 10 goals in 11 games.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Almost a goal per.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
So you better bet he's that good. They need to find... And he missed games with that body slam from Matheson. Ben Matheson, I think it was.
Mike Matheson, yeah.
Mike Matheson, yes, yeah. Mike Matheson. Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty good. And that's another team where they're looking good so far to start, like really good so far. And they're getting better. Like, they're only going to get better. Because with Pettersson, you obviously have Bo Horvat. You have Brock Besser. And Brock Besser's really good. Brock Besser's dealing with some injuries, but he's still really good. You got Adam Gaudette right now is up, and he started in the AHL, but he's got a lot of promise to him. And then they still have Quinn Hughes. And he's in college right now, but he'll be on the team next year.
Mm-hmm.
And you still got Thatcher Demko in the wings. And it helps that Markstrom's been playing pretty well.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. No, it's...
Vancouver's a team that's also on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy like I'm Elias... yeah, you are. A guy like Elias Pettersson, he's leading the way.
Well, I think it's a good way to end it, huh? Talking about the Sabres, they might be back over 500 again this year.
Derek's hungry.
I'm hungry. And
it's snowing.
It's snowing. The snow falls as it may, along with the Sabres scoring them goals, because they just scored again. Thanks for listening to the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank Arcuri.
Thank you to Joe Yurden for joining us, because, you know, he's awesome like that. Sometimes a jerk. Noted jerk. But he's awesome, too, because he took the time to talk to us. Hey, guess what? The most relaxing week of the year comes next week.
I can't wait.
The Bills bye week. We don't have to be screaming at a television at any point about how terrible things are going with your quarterback and how you're wasting your defense and how... Blah, 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 blah. No, you don't have to worry about that next week. Very peaceful. So, next week, there'll be a little bit of a schedule change with the Leftovers Podcast as well. I'm going to have to be hosting with Joe DiBiase on Friday next week. So, you'll get your normal Monday, and then you will not get the normal Friday. That'll probably be bumped to...
Different day.
Sunday, the bye week.
Do that.
Maybe Thursday. We'll figure that out. That's our job to figure that out, but we figured we'd let you know. Thanks for listening here on the Leftovers Podcast, WGR550.com, and On Demand Audio. Go get yourself some Sabres games. Seriously, before the price of the ticket starts going up immensely. Go!
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, Streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.